want you just to imagine a few scenarios. Maybe you don't have to imagine very hard. Imagine this one, 5:30 p.m. roughly, kind of the whole day hasn't went according to plan, had a kind of a long day at work. You've got kids' concerts to get to, but you have not made any thoughts or any plans about dinner, and somebody's calling you, what are we going to eat? And the answer is, I don't know. And then the boss calls and says, hey, remember that project that you said you were going to turn in? You didn't get it turned in. And just kind of that stress starts to spin up, and we're in northwestern Kansas, but then how is there traffic in western Kansas? And I got behind one of those crazy windmill turbines, and now I'm going 10 miles an hour, and the guy's with it. And this frustration just starts to build. Maybe that's not a scenario you've ever lived through, but maybe it's the scenario of it's about 7:30 in the morning on a school day, and you notice that your teenager once again rolled their eyes at you, and it just started to stir up some things yet again, and the little one can't find the shoes, and you haven't had a chance to have your morning coffee to kind of soften the edge a little bit, and you start to feel those words that you know you're going to have to apologize for later rising up in your throat, and it's just not the way that you wanted to start your day. Just tough. It's just tough. Maybe for some of you, that's not your scenarios, but it's a work thing, and you've got coworkers that just look for opportunities to just push your buttons, and they just push and push and push, or you've got a passive-aggressive boss, or you've got somebody at work that just always knows the exact wrong thing to say at the exact wrong time, and it's just the stress. It's just the stress. Well, what we're going to talk about today is what do we do in those? We kind of touched based on it a little bit a few weeks ago. We've been in this series, The Fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is things, what we've been saying is that God wants to grow inside of us, that as we're connected to Him, He starts to develop these fruits or these things, that these attributes of Himself inside of us. And what we've been looking at is this kind of key verse. We're finally into verse number 23. This is one of the longest series that I've ever done. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of being connected to the Spirit of God, well, it's love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then here's our word today, is gentleness. Gentleness. Now, in those three scenarios that I talked about, the end of the day stress, the beginning of the day stress, and in the workday stress, it's easy in those for gentleness to be pushed aside. It's easy for gentleness to be the last thing that you're thinking about. And as a matter of fact, gentleness just as a whole is kind of a hard sell, especially for the men, because we have been taught as we grew up, nice guys finish last. I need to be strong. If I'm gentle, I'm just going to get ran over. People are going to take advantage of me. If I don't stand up for myself, then nobody's going to stand up for me. We think of gentleness as passiveness. We think of gentleness as this is just a person that anybody can walk all over and mistreat, and he's not going to say or she's not going to say anything about it. But what we're going to discover today is that biblical gentleness, the gentleness that the Apostle Paul is talking about, the gentleness that Jesus talked about, is it could not be further from this passive, just nice guys finish last, everybody walks over me. That's not the kind of gentleness that the fruit of the Spirit wants to be developed in you. The word for gentleness in Scripture really is defined this way, that gentleness is strength under control. Strength under control. Whenever you see the word in the New Testament, gentleness, sometimes it's translated as meekness, sometimes it's translated in different parts as humility, but what it is gentleness is strength under control. Imagine it this way, because especially for the men, the dads, you've exhibited gentleness at different times in your life. I, multiple times a week, exhibit gentleness as I wrestle with Adler. Adler is my beautiful little 8-year-old, and he loves to wrestle. I'm much stronger than he is. And so it would not be difficult for me to hurt him, to really go, I could take all of my strength and injure him, but I have strength, but in that moment, I have it under control. But that same strength is able, if there was an emergency and I needed to throw Adler out of the way, I have enough strength to do that. That's gentleness. Now, when I wrestle with my older son, Elliot, I ask Elliot, please be gentle with your father because you know what you're doing and I don't. And that role has swapped. He has not learned the gentleness yet. He likes to just really be aggressive. So Elliot, I trust that you'll listen to this sermon today, that gentleness is not the absence of strength, but it's keeping that strength in check, that it's willing to say, I'm going to dial back the strength that I have on your behalf. I'm going to dial back what I'm able and capable of doing for your benefit. That is gentleness. And if we will let him, God will develop that spirit of gentleness in us, so that at the end of the day, when there's all the frustration, at the beginning of the day, when there's all that stress, and in the middle of the day, when you feel like you're being taken advantage of, I am gentle. Not so that I'm walked over, not so that I am pushed aside, but I have strength, but I keep it under control. And so this morning, what I want to try to do is share three different areas of our life that I think that God wants to develop gentleness in. I don't think these are the only areas of our life that God wants to develop in, but there's three that I think that maybe all of us, or at least some of us, can relate to at least a couple of these. Three different areas that I need some help in. Maybe it will help you as well. Number one is that we need the spirit of gentleness when our words want to wound. When our words want to wound. We've all been there. The kid just keeps pressing the buttons, or again, we said, you know, that coworker doesn't feel like you're being treated fairly at work. You're in that fight with your spouse, and all of a sudden, out of your mouth comes whatever line you had. You kind of got the line cocked, and you kind of, you know, ready, shoot, aim type of thing. And all of these words came out in anger and in frustration. And then when tempers have started to cool and blood pressure has started to come down, we have to circle back, right, and say, hey, I'm sorry for the way that I talked. I apologize that I lost my temper. And I think that for many of us, that we can get connected to the Spirit of God, that he can develop gentleness in us, and we can take better control over the words that we say. Instead of reacting to the moment, instead of reacting to that frustration, instead of returning that same energy that we're getting from our friends or our coworkers or our kids or our spouse or whatever, that the spirit of gentleness that God wants to develop in us can lead us to I'm just going to pause in those moments. Proverbs said it this way, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you know that to be true. Even if you're not sure about the scripture and the Bible and is it all true, you all believe that this is true, because you've been on the receiving end of it. Some of you are still walking through life with wounds from something that somebody said to you years ago. It could have been a teacher, it could have been a parent, it could have been a boss, who knows? And somebody said something in possibly a stressful moment and wounded you, and you, even that person might not even be in your life anymore, but there's something in you that I'm still carrying that. You've been on the other side of it. That there's been somebody that came alongside of you, a teacher or a coach, and just spoke extraordinary words of life. When nobody else believed in you, they believed in you, and they gave you a second chance. And the words that they said put so much wind in your sails. We know that this is true. And so what the Spirit of God wants to do is develop that gentleness in us that makes sure that in the words that I'm saying, I'm bringing life and not death. And it doesn't take away the stressful moments. It doesn't take away the hard conversations. It doesn't remove the arguments that I'm in. It just allows me to pause. Strength under control. The words that we use to hurt and wound and to sometimes win are strength out of control. It's in this moment. I'm out of control in my emotions, and I'm out of control in the words that I say, and you are wounded because of it. The spirit of gentleness says, I'm going to pause, and maybe we still have the conversation. Maybe there's still something that needs to be addressed. Maybe I'm not getting walked over. It's not that I'm passive. It's I have the strength to really, really wound you. I'm keeping it under control. Left to our own impulses, and isn't it true that for many of us, for most of us, we often speak out of anger and frustration, but as we keep in step with the Spirit, what does he develop in us? Restraint. The ability to pause, the ability to take a breath. Proverbs chapter 15 says it this way, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word, the back and forth, I'm going to match your energy, well, that stirs up wrath. If you were just to look at the last 7 days, What would you take an inventory and take an inventory of your words? Are they bringing more life or are they bringing more death? Are they bringing more healing? Are they bringing more wounding? And for, isn't it true that if we look back on the words that we regret, most of them are not words that we wish we would have said, but the words that we actually said. The words that we regret, now sometimes we regret not saying something, but usually that's words of love, words of kindness. Sometimes I regret not saying something to somebody that would have encouraged them, would have lifted them up, would have built them up, and you maybe have that. I wish I would have said to my dad before he died. I wish I would have said to this person before they left. Most of the words that we regret are words that we either wish we would have said, but those words are loving and kind and building up and giving life. The words that we regret that we said most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time are, I wish I would have paused. I wish I would have taken a breath. I wish I would have let my temper cool. I wish I would have just taken a moment to myself to kind of calm down because, man, the words that I said, they wounded my spouse, they wounded my children, they were said out of anger. In hindsight, we wish we would have exhibited gentleness, right? Can't you remember different times and seasons? Maybe it was this morning, maybe it was earlier this week. Maybe it's certainly for all of us at some point this year. In hindsight, we wish the spirit or the fruit of gentleness would have been developed in our life because we've said some things we wish we wouldn't have said. Well, great news, as we keep in step with the Spirit, He develops that fruit with us. So words that we say, I want to be filled with gentleness, not passivity, because some hard conversations need to be had. Some arguments need to be argued out, but I can do that in strength under control. And so this week, if you could use some gentleness in the words that you say, can I just teach you? I've got three points, three prayers. This first prayer comes specifically, it's just an exact word for word from a verse. If you're not sure how to pray, a great thing to do is just pray verses from the scripture. It's a great thing. You don't have to wonder. You're not sure what to say. Am I praying the right way? A great way to learn how to pray is just praying the scripture. If you in your life, as a husband, as a wife, as a boss, as an employee, as a student, as a child, whatever it is, if you recognize that I could use some more gentleness in the words that I say, let me show you this verse, put it on your fridge, make it your iPhone back screen, whatever it looks like. Lord, set up a guard for my mouth. And keep watch at the door of my lips. Lord, as you might have to pray that 100 times a day. Lord, as I go into this meeting, set up a guard for my mouth. Lord, as I'm getting ready to have this difficult conversation with my husband or this argument with my wife, things need to be said. We need to work this out. But in that, help me to have gentleness. Help me to have strength under control. Set a guard over my mouth. I don't want to have to come back later and say, I'm sorry for what I said. I don't want to have to come back later and say, I apologize for the way that I treated you. I don't want to have to come later and have to work towards healing some wounds that I created because life and death are in the power of the tongue. So let's be people that are exhibiting that spirit of gentleness and being people that in the words that I could say, strength under control. I'm taking a breath. Pray it 100 times. Pray it as much as you want and just see what might happen in your life. Not only do we need the words that wound, but we need the Spirit's gentleness when our life feels out of control. We need the Spirit's gentleness when our words want to wound and when life feels out of control. Have you ever noticed, maybe you noticed this week, depending on how your Thanksgiving went and how the cooking went or if you were on schedule or off schedule or if the traveling went good or if these people came, but have you ever noticed how quickly gentleness kind of gets out of town and evaporates when life spins out of control? When you have those unexpected moments, and some things are small, you know, in the scheme of things moments, unexpected, like your computer crashed and you forgot to save that Word document and now you've got to start all over. Just oh, gentleness, see you later. There's bigger moments though that the doctor calls and says, hey, we need to run a couple more tests. Can we get you in right away? And life just starts to spin out of control. The day that just gets derailed before it even starts, maybe you lose your job unexpectedly, or just whatever life throws at you. When life kind of spins out of control and things happen that we don't expect, gentleness is easy for it to evaporate. And what do we start to do? We start to, when life feels out of control, want to work really hard on controlling other things. And we become less patient. We become less kind. And because this thing over here is out of control, I've got to grip really hard onto this. And because I'm feeling out of control in this area of my life, I want to really maintain and really grip hard control in this area, but really it just pushes people away and it makes me hard to get along with. Our natural response in out of control moments is, I've got to fix it now. And there's a time for that. Sometimes we've got to be proactive. We want to force a solution. We want to react out of fear. But what gentleness does is it reminds us, wait. I don't have to just react to the moment. I can pause for a moment. Gentleness, and we know this, that gentleness often, or chaos rather, often crowds out that gentleness. It's hard to be gentle and in chaos at the same time. Upheaval and turmoil that we all experience, and it just kind of pushes gentleness to the shadows. And instead of gentle, I'm impatient. Anybody can relate? Instead of gentle, I'm harsh. Instead of gentle, I'm stressed. So the Apostle Paul, and you've heard some of these verses before, the Apostle Paul introduces something to us that gentleness can be evident to all because it's rooted in that God is near even in those chaotic moments. So Philippians chapter 4, you've heard verses 6 and 7 before almost certainly, but the verse before that is so, so wonderful. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Let your strength that's under control, let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Well, the Lord is near. In the chaos, in the unexpected, in the small and the big, the Lord is near. And so that strength that's under control, that gentleness, let it be evident. The opposite of this is I'm just this bull in a china shop. There's chaos in my life and I'm so spun up and so stressed, I am just adding to the chaos because of one little area of chaos over here. The Apostle Paul, let your gentleness be evident to all. Well, why? Well, the Lord is with you in it. That you're not fighting through this chaos on your own. That the things that you didn't know were coming, God knew were coming. The things that took you by surprise didn't take God by surprise. And so you can just be rooted in the Lord is near, and then the verses that you've heard. Remember, strength under control, gentleness, the Lord is near. What's the result? Don't be anxious. Let your gentleness be evident. The Lord is near, and as a result of that, you don't have to be anxious about anything. But in every unexpected situation, in the small and the big, when your day got derailed before it even started, when you get the phone call that says, hey, we need to run a couple more tests, when I didn't get the bonus that I thought I was gonna get, I didn't get into the school that I thought I, whatever it is, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, God, here's what I've got going on. I'm presenting my request. I'm not this bull in a china shop having to fix it all. I'm not trying to force solutions. I'm not pushing everybody else away because I've got to be in charge. I'm letting my gentleness, my strength that's under control, be evident. The Lord is near. The Lord didn't abandon me in this. I didn't see it coming, but God did. I didn't know this was happening, but God did. And so I don't have to be anxious. And when I do that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, not because the chaos is removed, but in it, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Gentleness flows from the assurance that God is with us no matter the circumstance, that it allows us to respond instead of panic, instead of chaos, instead of stress, instead of going through life in this turmoil and I've just got to fix it, I've got to fix it, I'll solve this and then I've got to fix it, trying to keep all those plates spinning. No, God's with me in this. I don't have to fix everything because the Lord is near. Jesus said it kind of similar. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, maybe that would be some of you this morning, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Listen, I should have underlined it. Learn from me. Well, how did Jesus live his life? For I am, here's what he is. I'm gentle. I've got strength that's under control. Are you in chaos and uncertainty? You got things that are spinning out of control? Come to your Heavenly Father. Come to your Savior, Jesus Christ. He will put on you things that fit. He doesn't allow you, if you're connected to him, to be so spun up and so out of control because he's near. He is with me in it. And you will find, that's what we want. I'll find rest for my soul. Rest for our soul is so easily evaporates in chaos. Gentleness reminds us, strength under control, The Lord is near. God isn't surprised by this. I don't have to rush through life trying to fix everything and trying to solve everything. I don't have to keep the plate spinning. I don't have to push everybody away. The Lord is near. So this week, when inevitably chaos hits, as Christmas comes near and you're buying all the presents and doing all the things and just getting end of the year stuff done or looking into the next year, whatever your life looks like, when chaos hit and when you're tempted to panic, when you're tempted to spin out of control, here's our second prayer. The first prayer was, Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Here's your second prayer. When that hits, oh, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. I didn't see this coming, but God did, and he's near. And it doesn't remove the chaos, but it reminds me that God is with me in it, that I don't have to be chaotic internally when there is chaos externally, that I don't have to let my emotions get so out of control. I don't have to try to fix everything. The Lord is near. I can maintain gentleness. I can maintain a spirit of God. You're with me. Your peace is here with me. And so as everything is swirling outside of me, I'm at peace. I maintain that gentleness because you are near. Gentleness, what does it do? The Spirit will grow gentleness. When our words want to wound, I need that. When life feels out of control, and then thirdly, we'll be done for the day. We need the Spirit's gentleness when our hurt runs deep. When our words want to wound, when life feels out of control, and when hurts run deep, because we've all experienced it and we all will experience it. Wound from other people. Things that we didn't deserve. Things that should not have happened to us. And our natural reaction is, I need to strike back. I need to be strong. And strength means I'm going to get even. I'll show them. They're not going to walk all over me. I've got to make sure that I'm strong because they should never do that again. Woundedness. And gentleness in that moment feels like permission for them to do it again. Gentleness in that moment feels like I'm just being walked all over. But remember, what did we say? What is gentleness? Strength under control. When we've been wounded, what feels like strength is actually bitterness. What feels like strength is building up walls and shutting people out, and I'm going to get even, and I'm going to get back at them. But what real strength is I'm going to choose to forgive. I'm going to choose to not build up walls. It would feel like strength to push back at them, but what I'm reminded about Jesus is gentleness is strength under control. There's the great, great description of this. Jesus has just been crucified in extraordinary, extraordinary agony, pain that we can't even begin to fathom. Everybody that he's loved totally abandoned him except the three women. Everybody that he thought he could count on gone, ran for the hills in hiding because they don't think they think that could happen to them. And Jesus, in the worst moment of his life, he sees the people who have brought on him all of this pain, who are the causers of all of the agony that he's in, and he's hanging there on the cross with all the power in the world. There's nothing that he can't do. The same Jesus that caused the blind to see, the same Jesus that raised dead people to life, the same Jesus that did all these extraordinary miracles, hanging on the cross with all of the power at his disposal, he sees the people that did this to him, and his response, forgive them. Now you want to talk about strength under control. Right there it is. Jesus, with the ability to do whatever he wanted to, he could have turned him into dust just like that. With a word, he could have had all of heaven's armies come and destroy everything about. But in gentleness, Father, forgive them. In his deepest, worst moment, what did he do? Forgive them. How about you? In the moments that you didn't deserve it, it wasn't your fault. They shouldn't have done that. It wasn't right. We're not excusing it. We're not saying it wasn't a big deal. We're just saying it was a big deal. It wasn't right. But what is my response? Gentleness says, I'm going to follow the example of my Savior. I'm going to forgive instead. And I can't do it on my own. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. That's why it's something that has grown inside of me. that I allow God's work inside of me to do things that I can't do. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans, friends, he's talking to all of us. Hey, don't avenge yourselves. That would from the outside look like strength. The outside and culture says, get back, get even, make sure they don't, make sure that they know, make sure that your name is, Paul says, don't avenge yourselves. He's not excusing it. He's not saying it was okay. He's just saying, don't avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath. In other words, God saw it too. God is not blind to what happened to you. God is not unaware that that was unfair. God is not unaware that that was unjust. And there is justice at some point, but it's not yours to hold. It's not yours to cause. Our job is to be gentle, to be strength under control, to not avenge. And I'm just going to say, God, as much as I want to repay, I'm going to leave room for you. Because if I put on judgment, I'm taking away God's responsibility. Leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, hey, vengeance, go back one slide. Vengeance belongs to me. I will repay. So that can give you a little bit of hope. That person that did that thing, God saw it too. And there is justice coming at some point. I'll repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy, and go ahead and put the picture of that person in your mind. Don't know who it is, but you know who it is. They're hungry, feed them. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. It seems so passive. It seems like people are just going to walk all over me. It's gentleness. For in doing so, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Hey, don't be conquered by evil. Don't let evil overtake you. Because unforgiveness starts to develop roots in our life and it starts to be bitter. And here's what we know is true about unforgiveness. It starts to impact and affect every other part of our life. That unforgiveness towards a parent impacts my relationship with my current day spouse. Unforgiveness towards a boss starts to weave its way into my relationship with my kids. Unforgiveness all the way back here when I was a child has followed me into adulthood and it infects every little part. It doesn't stay isolated. And so the Apostle Paul in extraordinary wisdom says, hey, don't be conquered by evil. It was evil. What happened to you? It was evil. And it doesn't mean you're letting them back in your life. It doesn't mean that you maintain a relationship. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that you're going to let God do what God does, and you're going to let the spirit of gentleness be grown inside of you so that you're not conquered by the evil that was done for you. I'm going to conquer instead evil with good. Gentleness offers the offending party mercy while trusting God with justice. Now, we want to flip it around. I want to be in control of justice, and if God wants to show you mercy, then I'm going to leave that up to him, but I'm going to make sure there's justice. What followers of Christ are invited to do is instead trust God with justice, and you extend mercy. That's what God has done on our behalf. He extended mercy when he could have extended justice. And as a follower of Jesus, with the spirit of gentleness that has grown in me, what feels like strength is actually inviting bitterness and unforgiveness and strife into all these other areas of my life. And so the Spirit's gentleness gives us strength to forgive and the freedom to heal. The freedom to heal. And that's what I want for some of you. And again, we're not talking about letting them back in your life. We're not talking about inviting them over for dinner. We're just saying, I'm not going to be overcome by the evil that they perpetrated in my life. I'm not going to be overcome by evil. I'm going to let gentleness, I'm extending mercy, and I'm going to trust God with judgment. And so this week, if you're struggling with unforgiveness, if you're struggling when you think of that person or see that person or experience that person walking down that same aisle as you, here's a prayer. Give me the strength to forgive while I trust you for justice. Give me the strength. God, I don't have it. I don't have that strength on my own. I can't do that. I'm not strong enough. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of me. It's the fruit of I'm connected to him. Gentleness, what it'll do, it'll guard your mouth. It'll guide you through chaos, and it'll give us the strength to forgive. Where do you need gentleness this week? Right after, two verses after the Apostle Paul wrote the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, so on. Verse number 25, he says this. Since we are living by the Spirit, since the Spirit is leading and guiding and directing you, hey, let's follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. So it goes beyond Sundays. And I follow the Spirit's leading in the words that I say. And I follow the Spirit's leading in the chaos. And I follow the Spirit's leading when I've been hurt by somebody else. If Jesus in his deepest pain chose forgiveness, what would it look like for us to do that? If in the chaos, what would it look like for us to say, instead of trying to fix it and I've got to run around and push people away, the Lord is near. And when those words of anger start to rise up in me, what would it look like to pause and to say, I'm going to speak words of life and not words of death? I can't do it on my own. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. When we keep in step with the Spirit, he grows in us a gentleness that transforms our word, calms our chaos, and heals our wounds. I want it for you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you are near to us. And so, Lord, I'm praying that wherever this message hits for those that are sitting here in the room, those are online, Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom to know what to do with this, and that you'd give us the courage to do it. For some of us, our first step is to apologize to somebody because we were not careful with our words. We allowed our words to wound and to hurt. We won the argument, but we maybe lost the relationship. And so, Lord, for some of us, our first step is to apologize. And then moving forward, to take a breath and to allow strength to be under control. For some of us, we are in chaos right now. That there are things that are happening in our life that are unexpected. We didn't see coming, but we're so grateful that you did. And so, Lord, this week, help us to remember you're near. You're near. I don't have to run through life like a bull in a china shop trying to fix it all. I don't have to keep all the plates spinning. You're near. And so give us peace in that. Lord, some of us are dealing with deep, deep hurts, deep wounds that have just carried through our life, carried through maybe not just this year, but years in the past. And it's infecting us. And it's hard to let it go. And so, Lord, would you give us the strength to forgive while we trust you for justice? Lord, we do not want to be overcome by evil. We want to overcome evil with good. And so, Lord, wherever that lands for us this morning, thank you so much that you are the producer of that. Help us to keep in step with your Spirit that leads and guides us every single day. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.